Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night, June 14th, 2016, and this is Matt Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Ace Diamond, and tonight we will once again be joined by my co-host, the fat man Rob Fatone, and our very special call-in guest will be none other than the paranormal Eric Fallen, who should be calling in just a few moments. But I would like to say I was unable to catch Monday Night Raw last night. I was at business function that I was unable to tear myself away from. So I was unable to catch it, but from what I heard, it was a very good show. And from what I've heard about tonight's very special live TNA Impact, is not a very good show. There have been some very major technical difficulties, and really that's just par for the course as far as TNA goes. But I also heard that Slammiversary this past Sunday barely went off because they were almost unable to produce the show financially. So more money woes for TNA, and honestly, I would be surprised if they are running by the time Slammiversary comes around next year. Honestly, Christmas would be a stretch. But we're going to go to the fat man Rob Fatone, who is on the air.
Ace, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Good.
So we're just waiting for the paranormal Eric Fallen to call in and press 1 on his phone to talk to us. And
That's got to be long distance calling from the other side like that. I mean,
you know, that's got to be a heck of a phone bill just to call in and talk to us. But I do believe...
Yeah.
I do believe we have, is this Eric Fallen?
This is.
Mr. Fallen, my friend, it's been a long time.
It's been too long.
Yes, it has. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very fine. How are you?
I'm surviving. So, but let's get right into things. What is going on with the paranormal one these days?
Oh, everything's going on. Whatever I choose, wherever I want to go. I have a date coming up on the 26th of June, CWAI. Me and the Hardcore Viking Hooks are going to be tearing apart two lost souls named Mitch Magnus and Steve Anderson. I know you are familiar with Steve Anderson.
Absolutely.
I'm familiar with Mr. Magnus as well.
Yes, they're both pretty well known around the area. And they both really like to be tortured, I guess.
Yeah, that Steve Anderson loves the torture.
Oh, well, we have something for him in store. I'm not very, I don't play well with others, but I have a feeling that Hooks is going to do just fine.
I've seen this up close and personal before. You know, not, I haven't experienced it, you know, but I have seen this very up close and personal.
Yes, yes. It's just a nature thing. Like it's very hard for me to have tag team partners. I'm not known for tag team wrestling.
No, you've always been one to lone wolf it up. I mean, I've never really seen you tag much with other people.
No, you know, it's funny because there was a time where I got put with an individual named Sean Draven, and you know, we had this thing called Wrestling's Horror Story down in Dayton, and I felt like it was going well, but at the same time, I was just more of a Batman and Robin issue, if I can say that.
Absolutely.
And it was just more of, you know, yeah, it was fun while it lasted, but it just didn't last.
All good things must come to an end.
Well, very true. Very true. And then, you know, there's other things that are just, should be just left alone. And me as a single competitor, single warrior, gladiator, whatever you want to call it, it's just better that way.
Speaking of ends, what's this I keep hearing about the Paranormal Fallen Tour of 16 coming to an end?
Yeah, there's been a lot of mixed feelings about that. You know, you come to a point to where, you know, because I mean, a lot of these guys, man, a lot of these new kids and stuff, and guys who've been in it for like maybe 3 or 4 years, you know, they don't really know my history. You know, I've never been really one to really put everything out there. You know, like I give you small doses of things, but I've really been doing this for a really long time. You know, like you would think 2005 is not that long, but when you've been doing it that long, and I mean, there's a lot of matches I've had and a lot of things I've done that are really under the radar and never been broadcasted, you know, or put out there. So, you know, like I was doing this way before I started getting known and getting pretty popular. So, you know, it's mixed feelings, you know, like I have those times where I feel like, you know what, maybe it's time to just cross over, take the Eric Fallen character, and, you know, what else is there to do with them, really, you know, I mean, but then I look at it, and then I go out there, and I do it, and I realize, you know what, I got so much left to give, I got so much left in the tank, I'm training every day, I'm working out, you know, I'm healthy, you know, and I just feel like, you know, it's almost like, yes, I know I sound like a hypocrite. I know I put a date on it, but at the same time, it's like, you just never know, you know. Why quit when you're having fun? And I'm having fun.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it was once said, once you stop having fun and it turns into an actual job, it's time to get out.
But, you know, very true, you know. Well, that's very true, you know, and I'm not going to hold any secrets, you know. Underneath the persona and the character and everything, you know, I am a man. I am normal to a degree, you know. And there's things that, with age, they seem to catch up on you, and that's the life part of it, you know. But the paranormal part of it is the fact that, you know, I'm still able to do things that other people can't do. My body is still in a good place with all the injuries I've had. I have an injury currently right now. You know, I have a torn muscle over here by my my right elbow where I choke slam people. That's currently torn. And you know, the doctor has told me that I probably need surgery, but instead, I don't like hospitals, so I'll get surgery when I feel like it. But right now, it's not
feeling all too well.
It's not going to stop my choke slam. It's not going to stop me doing what I'm doing. I know my body, and my body knows me. And when my body tells me it's completely time to do it, then I'll pursue that. But right now, you know, I feel good, man. I just got out of the gym, really. And, you know, I'm doing good. There's no pain right now. And the pain I do have, I get through it. So, you know, I've actually enhanced my choke slam. So for those of you fans who want to come on out on the 26th, the Masonic Temple, Hamilton, Ohio, you're going to see a choke slam that you've never seen on TV, that you've never seen in the Indies.
That's for CWAI, correct?
Yes.
Just that description alone scares me.
You know,
and knowing what I've seen you do, has that just.
I'm just.
I feel bad,
you know,
for whoever takes that choke slam.
You know, it's very. I don't like peeves, man, in this business, and that's another reason why I question, you know, about staying in it sometimes, is because I feel like, you know, it's like Hollywood in a lot, you know, in a lot of ways. Everything's been done, so what are we going to do now? We're going to make sequels. We're going to make reboots. We have to reboot everything because everything's been done. We don't have no more originality. Maybe every once in a while there's an original idea that comes along and it makes a lot of money. You know, I feel like I've been labeled as different things, but I've always tried to stay original. And I always try to be original every time I come and I do this. Every time I walk through a curtain, I'm doing something that another guy either didn't think of or he thought about it and he just didn't act on it. You know, I try to stay out of the box. You know, I'm doing everything but setting myself on fire.
Nobody likes fire.
I like fire.
I hate being set on fire. I don't like to be set on fire. I ain't even attempted to be set on fire.
Well, you know, it's fun until, you know, it's fun until you start burning. But, you know,
yeah,
I like fire, so you never know. You might see one of these entrances being posted up or on video where I'm walking out and I am on fire. You know, you just never know. I got so many ideas that are just haven't been tapped into yet.
Now, I got to know, with all this speculation, or not really speculation, but controversy going around over death matches, what is your stance on death matches?
Well, here's my thing. I've been in a few death matches, a time or two. I feel like this. If you're some guy who is getting paid a lot of money to go out here and mutilate another guy, mutilate yourself, you know, good for you. You got a payday, whatever. You can pay for your hospital bill. You could probably pay for his hospital bill, whatever. But if you're going out here and you're only making $20 and you're using light bulbs and you're cutting yourself all up, do yourself a favor and cut your wrist, because you're the stupidest son of a bitch that I've ever seen in my life.
So, okay, just to play devil's advocate for a second. Now, what's the difference, well, besides the amount of fans and the amount of zeros on the paycheck, what's the difference between doing it on the big level versus doing it on the indie level? I mean, isn't it in essence the same quote-unquote shit?
Well, let's say this, okay? Let's be honest right here. If we're going to talk about money and we're going to talk about what sells, okay, let's talk about this, okay? Hardcore companies, and I'm not talking about ECW, okay? Let's say ECW opened up the door for all this. But
yeah.
Hardcore companies wasn't successful enough to where they were at a TNA, WWE stature. And what I mean, like I said, I'm not taking away from ECW because, yes, ECW did a lot of crazy shit. And back in the day, that was the thing. But we're just not in that time anymore. I feel like time has passed the extreme hardcore era, in my opinion. I just don't feel like it's been done so many times. It's kind of like the zombie era, you know. How many zombie movies can you watch until they're all the same thing, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm tired of seeing zombie movies. Make a good fucking Frankenstein movie for once. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's just my opinion, you know. I don't bash on people who do that. I, you know, more power to them. You know, everyone has their own fan base, and, you know, it's for some, and sometimes it's not for some. So, you know, I don't hate it. I don't look down on it. I don't frown upon it. I just feel like, you know, if you're doing it and you're not getting anything beneficial out of it other than $20, then, you know, I mean, come on. You know, you're going in there and you're mutilating your body, and what if something really bad happens to you? Then what? Was that $20 worth it? You know.
$20 ain't worth a broken ankle.
That's just my take. You know, I'm all for going in the ring and, you know, getting a good ass whooping and giving a good ass whooping. You bring in some tacks, chairs, whatever, you know. That's fine. We can play.
No, I don't know about you, but in my opinion, old school is becoming new again, basically.
Yes. Yes, very much.
Circling back around to where the old school, more mat-based wrestling is becoming what's in again.
Okay, but if you're using that ideology, then wouldn't, per se, hardcore come around again?
And it very well could.
Like I said, you gotta understand that we are in a different era. We are moving in a different era where it's hard to do things that back then you'd get a good pop. You would do things to draw people in. Now it's all about, you know, because let's just face it, okay, there's a lot of things that have leaked out to where, you know, it's just not the same. Nothing's a secret anymore. You know, how do you become original? How do you do something to make somebody draw in where they haven't already seen it 1,000 times? It's really wrestling, this business. It's not a wrestling business. It hasn't been a wrestling business for decades. It's a sports entertainment business. And when the sports entertainment becomes so overdone to where you have to evolve and become something that no one's ever seen, it's really difficult. Not many people can do it, you know, and that's where I come in. I'm doing things that, yeah, you can look at, oh, well, you know, he kind of looks like this person, or he's kind of doing that. But wait a minute. Why does he do that? Or that's strange. I've never seen that before. Why does he do that? That's weird. That's strange. I'm all about that. I'm all about going out there and doing something that the normal wrestling fan has never seen on TV. If you didn't see it on TV, then obviously you've never seen it. And, you know, I said this once to a group of kids in a wrestling school. I said, you want to do something, you want to stand out, don't make an entrance, be the entrance. You want these people to draw to you right when you walk out of the curtain. Good to know what you're doing in the ring, yes, but if you can't be something that draws them in once you walk through that curtain, they're not going to be drawn to you. You know, you have to be different. You have to be different.
So what you're saying is basically that first minute and 30 seconds while that music is playing is the most important, you know, would be more important than the lockup?
Here's the thing. The music is one thing, but it's the whole nine yards. You understand? It's the whole nine yards. You got to have something different, okay? Yes, there's been times where I use bands that people have heard before, and, you know, you're thinking, well, I've heard this before. I've done that before. Yes, I've done that. I'm guilty of it. But then there's times where I change things up.
No. Well, I wasn't talking about music. I was talking about that first, like, you pop the curtain for the first time. That first minute and 10 seconds, minute and 30 seconds, however long it takes for your entrance, that's your first impression to these people. That's more important than what you're going to do in the ring. That's your first impression.
My first impression is this. I want these people, when my music hits and the lights go out, I don't want them to think that I'm some other creepy goth guy coming out with paint on or someone doing something freaky. I want them to know that they are a part of a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want them to understand that what they're about to see is a show.
Yeah, you want them to bite. You want them to bite and be hooked from the minute that starts.
You see, that's the thing. You know, here's the thing. You know Cody Hawk. Everybody knows Cody Hawk.
Yeah.
Cody Hawk saw something in me a few years back, you know, and he didn't have to. He could have looked at me like someone else. He could have looked at me like everyone else. He could have just said, hey, you're a guy. You're a big guy. Yeah, you got some talent here. I'll throw you in there. We'll do something to you. You'll last for however, you know, you'll have a good fire going, and then you might burn out. I didn't want that. I wanted Cody Hawk to see something he's never seen before in me. And yes, at first it started out as the Undertaker, Sting type, whatever. But then I started doing things that he's never seen before. And that, you know, we developed a relationship to where, you know, whether if we're enemies across the ring or we're standing side by side, you know, he has respect for me that I'm different. I'm outside the box. And that's what this business is really about. You know, if you're going to succeed and you're going to make money and you're going to draw people in, 90% of the wrestling community is children. And you got to target these kids. You got to make these kids see something they've never seen before. Got to inspire them. You got to inspire everybody. And that's what I do. You know, I want to give you a show. I want you to go home and have memories. I want you to go home and say, hey, I've never seen anything like that before. Do you remember that guy? You know, I don't have to be the biggest name on the card. I don't have to do the coolest thing on the card. I just have to be the thing on the card that you remember. You know, and that's what I do. You know, we had Simon Dean at a show a few weeks back, you know, and I've never met Simon Dean before. You know, he came in, shook everybody's hand, being very respectful. And
did he bring the Segway?
The what?
Did he have the Segway with him?
No, unfortunately not, because I would have stole it. But, you know, he came in, you know, and he noticed me in the corner, you know, doing my thing and getting all my stuff on and getting my gear together. And, you know, he came over to me, you know, and he gave me some advice, and I really appreciate it. You know, he told me, you know, he said, I like that you're different. You know, out of everybody in here, you're the only one that stands out. And he said, and when I go home tonight, you know, you're going to be the only one that I remember. And he said, you know, he had a big old message for everybody in the locker room that night, you know, about how you make it and what draws money and what doesn't, you know. And if you're going to make it in the sports entertainment world, you got to be a sports entertainer, because Vince McMahon, you know, when it comes down to it, what's Vince going to make money with? Is he going to make money with a wrestler? Sure, he might. But what's he going to make more money with? He's going to make money with gimmicks. That's how you make it. You have to have a gimmick. You know, I mean, the best advice I could give is the advice that was told to me. When you see a guy like the Boogeyman, you know, no offense to Marty, but when you see a guy like the Boogeyman who... he's freaky, he's got a gimmick, you know, he's not a great wrestler, but he's an awesome sports entertainer. And he can go to WrestleMania with Booker T and make tons of money. I mean, come on now. Isn't that inspiring? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to be the guy to go 90 seconds. You don't have to be the guy with an extreme great physique. You just have to be the guy that can draw people in. And that's how you make your dollar, my friend. But I just want to put this out there. It's not really, because a lot of people ask me all the time. I get told this all the time by people. Why are you not making a lot of money? Why are you not in the big leagues? Why? You know, And it's not that I can't be. It's not that I can't go after it. I enjoy what I do, you know. It's not all about the money to me. My payday is people going home happy, people going home with an experience. That's my payday. You know, the money's good here and there. It's good. We all, you know, we all do it. You know, we all like getting a payday.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, coming and giving me a payday is good. But when I hear all these kids, you know, you made their day, you know, they're talking about you, you're their favorite wrestler, you're their hero, that right there is the ultimate payday. And if you can't get that response, then, my friend, you're not doing something right. You know,
well, see, yeah. I was told a couple weeks ago by, I don't even remember who it was, some genius on Facebook, which isn't everybody a genius on Facebook, that if you're not in this business for the money, then you shouldn't be in the business. And
everybody. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I couldn't have disagreed with him more.
Here's the thing, okay? Your money's good, okay? If you're not making money, then why are you doing this, right? Yes, I understand that. I understand the money part of it. I'm just not a greedy person. I've never been a greedy person. I've never been, you know, oh, I have to have this much, I have to have that much. I've just never been that guy. And, you know, there's some people in this business that looks down on me over that, and that's fine. That's cool. It doesn't stop what I'm doing, you know? You know, like I said, money's one thing. You're not in it for the money, whatever. If you're not in it for the passion of entertaining and being your gimmick and making your gimmick real and alive and believable, then these fans ain't going to believe you. They're not going to be in it for you, and you're not going to make any money. Plain and simple. Because if I don't believe who you are coming through that curtain, why am I going to pay to come see you? Why will I even tell everybody else to come see you?
That's why I really don't have a gimmick. I mean, I'm just fat and I play it up.
You know, it's difficult. When I first got in this business, I wasn't doing the things that I'm doing now. You know, I wasn't. I had to learn. I learned the hard way. I really did. I'm not going to bullshit anybody. I didn't have any wrestling training when I got in. I was an athletic kid that got discovered for my body, for what I could do, and I got lost in the shuffle because I got thrown in the mix. I was young. I was dumb. I looked at it like, you know what, this is everything I ever wanted to do. I get to do things I see on TV. I was that kid, and I got my ass kicked for a very long time by veterans, by people who didn't want me in this business. And, you know...
Yeah.
You become humble. You become humble real quick, you know. And now I feel like I'm at a place now to where things that I know and the things that I've done, I can teach the younger kids that are coming in. But, you know, like again, like we were talking about earlier, you know, this just isn't a wrestling business anymore. You can wrestle all day long, but if you don't have gimmicks, if you don't have storytelling, if you don't have, if you don't have special effects, what I'm saying is, how many times are you going to go see a movie that is the same old movie? You know what I mean? Like, you want something different than that. You want something spectacular. You want something that's going to make you say, oh my God, what the hell? You know, you want something captivating, you know? And, you know, it took me a long time, but Eric Fallen has evolved from nothing to whatever you want to call me now. You know?
Yeah.
I call you one of the most interesting performers I've ever seen.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's doing your homework. It's working on yourself. It's really putting time and effort into yourself. You know, you want these people to accept you. You have to accept yourself, and you have to come up with something that they're going to draw. You know, I mean, come on, you know, you want to go to a show, think about how you know, like, listen, how do you two feel like when you get tickets to go to a show and you're seeing lights and you're seeing pyro and you're seeing these things that you normally don't see? You may see it on TV, yes, but when you're there live and you get a fan experience, you will remember that for the rest of your life. I mean,
oh, the pyro still gets me.
That's who I am. I want to be the guy who gives the fans the ultimate experience. I want to make them a part of the show. If you're going to come pay money to see me and you're going to bring your kids, you're going to be a part of the show some way or another. I don't want to just come out and clap your hand and shake your hand. I'm going to come out and I'm going to get in that crowd with you. I am one of you. You are one of me. That's just the way it is. That's how I am. That's what makes me different from everyone else. You know, I mean, what I did a match. Okay, quote me if I'm wrong, okay? I'm kind of a little foggy on this one, but I did a match maybe a year ago with down in Franklin, I think, with Chance Prophet. It was a casket match.
I believe,
right?
Yeah, I believe
about,
you heard
right?
About that. Yeah.
Chance Prophet is very, very successful, very big, you know, in the indies, you know. And here he is in Franklin. He's well known. I'm thinking to myself in the back, I have not done nearly as much as Mr. Prophet has done. I have not been as nearly many places as Prophet has been. He is going to blow me out of the water, you know, because they're used to seeing me, you know. So what can I do that is going to be different than what he's doing? And really, there wasn't really a lot of things that I did really different. I mean, he came out, he entertained, he got his pops like he really deserves. I came out of a casket with lights strapped to me and face paint that peels off. You would think.
Okay, I remember that night. Yeah, I was in the back for that. Okay.
You would think, okay, well, that's not really a big deal. But I got a huge pop, and if not bigger, if not the same, I got accepted. I got a big pop. And you know what? I was out there in the crowd. I walked in the crowd. I was among them. I'm the guy who just wants you to be a part of the show, you know? And, you know, being the guy who's getting told by former WWE superstars that they like my character, that I'm different, and then going out there and facing people who are successful and getting the same type of pop that they are getting, if not bigger, I must be doing something right, because if I'm doing something wrong and they're cheering for me, then I guess I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, if you're doing something wrong and they're cheering for you, then I don't know.
I just strive
to be
different.
I think that's more on the fans.
It's just about imagination, man. That's really what this business is. It's a sports entertainment business, man. If you were going to be a Hollywood actor, you know, do something different. You want your movies to be different. You don't want to be lost in the shuffle. Although this guy's trying to be another Nicolas Cage, or this guy's trying to be this guy. You want to have your own element, you know, your own mystique. And that's where I'm at, man. You know, if I leave, I want to be remembered as the guy who was different. The guy who just was out there. He did things. He wasn't afraid to take risk. He was just his own trailblazer, you know. Whether if it's a big stage or a small stage, it don't matter to me. A stage is a stage. And if you can get those fans and get them to come see you and get them to love you, then I feel like I'm doing my job. I feel like I am a sports entertainer and I'm doing my job. And what I do in the ring, the wrestling part of it, I feel like I'm doing that too, you know? And I don't have to be the wrestler. I don't have to be that guy. I'm entertaining enough to where my job, it's hard when I want it to be, but it's easy. You know, I'm just at that stage. I worked really hard to get here where I'm at. You know, I'm okay with that. You know, there's times where I will get in the ring and be the wrestler. But You know, if you're in a sports entertainment business and you're out there and you're doing sports entertainment things, then I don't see any shame in that. You're doing your job.
Yeah, I mean, as a wrestler, you have to realize there's no us without the fans. If the fans ain't behind you, you ain't a wrestler. Because
that's
right. You're not going to get booked. You're not going to make money. If you ain't drawing nothing, you ain't nothing. I mean,
I was told by a legend in this business. This business is about the fans. You're nothing without these fans. You do not exist if these fans don't cheer you or boo you. You're nothing. You have to be something. You have to make something. You have to create something. And if you can't do any of those things, don't even be in this business. Don't even come near it. It's not, I mean, I'm not bashing wrestling, pro wrestling. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying, but how easy is it for a guy to get in the ring and be taught a headlock and go out there and do a headlock, an arm bar, an arm drag, a drop kick? You're wrestling, right? It's not rocket science. If you can teach it, it's not rocket science. Someone can go out there and do that. How difficult is it for you to go out there and make those people, every one of them, make those people cheer you, boo you, bring them up, bring them down, get them excited, make their emotions, play with their emotions, draw their emotions, feel their emotions? That is something that can't be taught.
With that being said, read a recent interview which stated that the future, or the recent, or the near future, I should say, I'm sorry, the near future states that there is no more heels, no more faces in wrestling. How do you feel about that? What do you know?
I mean, you know, it speaks for itself. I mean, you got to understand that, like I said before, the business is in a different era. It's in a different time. You know, you have social media dominating everything, so there are no secrets anymore, unfortunately. It's not impossible, though. Let's just say this. It's not impossible. You know, there are ways to do it. I don't want to say that certain things are completely dead, because they're not. It's not impossible to keep that mystique. But you have to understand. You have to listen to the people. Okay, these are the ones, again, we go back to this. They are the ones that make you exist. They are the ones that make your character. They give your character life. They are the ones that you either live or die. If you are not getting any response, I mean, come on, you know. It's all about the fans. The fans dictates your lifeline in this business. And why do we need hills? Why do we need faces when the fans basically either accept you or they don't? That right there answers your own question. You know, if I go out and I'm being hated, then obviously I already know what I am. If I go out and they love me, I already know what I am. Is it going to change what I do in the ring? No. Because what I do in the ring, I'm there to hurt you. We're not friends. I'm there to hurt you. I'm there to make you remember me. And you're going to remember me, because what I do in the ring, you're going to feel it the next day. So, you know, it's just, it's a tricky thing, but listen to the fans. The fans dictate. That's the era that we live in. The fans dictate that. Which, you know, it's all about the fans anyway, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's what it should be all about. Some people, I think it's about them and not the fans. But.
Right.
So do you have anything scheduled beyond the 26th of this month?
I have some more CWAI dates coming up. I really like it with them. They are they're a good promotion. Man, I'm telling you, man, you need to look out for them. Everyone needs to pick them up on their radar, man. They're a giant, and they're coming. They're hungry. There's a lot of great talent coming out of Cody Hawk's training, a lot of great talent that's already there, and a lot of great talent that's coming. I mean, it's a monster it's getting there, you know, and I'm going to help it get there. You know, there's a lot of positivity with that, you know, business, and I want to see it succeed, and if I can do whatever I can to help it, I will, you know. I have some dates coming up. Where was that? Sydney, Ohio, coming up in August. I think August, 26th, up in Sydney, Ohio. Got a date there. Doing some stuff, West Virginia. You know, like I said earlier, you know, I go where I want to go. I got some other stuff I'm going to be doing. Going to try to make it out to a few places I've never been before. You know, Vegas seems like a place that needs some Eric Fallen. I got some connections there that I'm trying to get involved in. So, you know, you just never know, you know. Just keep your eyes and ears open.
Should we be on the lookout for any Eric Fallen merchandise or T-shirts?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I got T-shirts coming. Yeah, I know everyone gets on to me. Why is it taking so long for the T-shirt? Well, I'm not just making a T-shirt, my friend. You are getting a really cool T-shirt. You are getting merchandise. You understand? You're not just getting a T-shirt. It's not just 100% cotton. You are getting armor. I am getting something made to where it's basically armor. It's going to glow. That's all I can say. It's going to glow. It's going to be something neat. Ooh. Kids are going to love it.
I'll definitely be on the lookout for that.
Yes. A lot of people ask me, you know, you what?
Go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
A lot of people ask me, you know, you peel your face off. You peel your face off. When are we going to get Eric Fallen mask? Well, why come out with a mask when I can just give you my face? We'll work on it. We'll see. Tell me something, you know. You know you're doing something freaky and strange when you get a peel your face chant.
yeah.
Again, that is a little strange.
I guarantee you that's never happened.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right on that one.
Well, I mean, with all due respect to all the face painters out there, Jeff, Muda, Sting, I'm pretty sure they've never had a peel your face chant.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair assumption.
The closest thing I've ever heard was a cream my face, but, you know.
Oh, that sounds like another business, but.
Well, no, it was just with whipped cream and some fat people. You know, I really don't want to talk about it.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah, we get it. You're fat.
Yeah. So, I got another question. I want a match. I'm just saying, you know, I want a match sometime in your busy schedule.
Oh really?
I think that a draw. I think we could draw with that.
Rob, aren't you currently on the inactive list?
Yeah, I'm on the injured list right now, or inactive list, whatever, injured reserve, whatever you want to call it. But we could work out the details later. I just want a match.
Well, I will say this, okay? I have never had an issue of working with anybody. You know, there hasn't been anybody that, you know, I mean, well, I take that back. There's a few people around that I won't go near because, for one, I'm just not going to get in the ring with them because they don't know how to get in the shower. Two,
I shower.
You know,
I wash my gear too.
I just look at it like this, okay? You know, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't belong in the ring with me because I'm really going to hurt you. if you don't know what you're doing, because you're not going to hurt me, you know, and I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to let you hurt yourself, but I'll hurt you just to make you understand. Yes, I hurt you because you should know better, but I don't know. Get 100% and then we'll talk.
Well, I'm working on that. It's just a pesky little blood clot. That's all it is, you know.
Just a pesky little blood clot that could kill
you? Just a pesky little blood clot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you definitely need to get 100% for that. Well, we got about 15 minutes. Just short of 15 minutes, actually.
Hey, I think I can hang. I got some Cody Hawk training under my belt. I mean...
Yes, I encourage you to do that. Go to Cody Hawk's class. They happen on Mondays and Tuesdays at the CWAI arena.
I've been to Cody Hawk's training. I mean, I've been to Cody Hawk's training. I'm not saying I don't need to go, but everybody needs to go. I encourage everybody to go. If I could afford it right now, I would. But
trust me, my friend, when you are ready, I will be ready.
Okay.
But understand this, okay? And this isn't personal. Understand that I don't play with my food. When I'm in the ring, it's straight extermination, annihilation, and destroy. That's what I'm about. I've been told before, and I look at it like this: if you can't take a hit, then don't be in the ring.
I got two modes. I got buffet mode and I got ring mode. I mean, and I know how to separate the two. I mean, I can leave the turkey leg outside the ring. We can step in here. We can do this. I mean.
Oh, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Let me tell you something. To quote a good buddy of mine, Sammy Callahan, they came for the stiff, and that's what they're going to get.
Well,
I really hope you know what you're getting yourself into.
When you're ready, my friend.
A big man to knock a big man down.
When you're ready, you just let me know.
Okay.
But in other news, get well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, gentlemen, I believe that's all the time I have, unless we have any more questions.
No, I think we are good. I do want to thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, I want to thank you for having me. You know, it's been a while since I did one of these shows, you know. I enjoy it.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully I'll see you here soon.
Yes, try to make it out to the CWAI show on the 26th, if you are able. It'll be a fun time.
If I'm able, I'll be there. It's only a few minutes from my house, so.
Yes, I encourage you to come on down and enjoy it. You know, we'll meet and greet and catch up.
What's the date on that again?
It's the June 26th at the Masonic Temple in Hamilton, Ohio.
You know how much tickets are with bell time?
I believe the bell time is around, what did it say, 3 maybe? I'm not sure.
Okay.
I got all the flyers and everything. Everything's posted up on Facebook and everything.
Okay.
It's out there. The information's out there. But I encourage everyone to come because you're going to see a show that you've never seen before. We have a little something for everybody. It's a family-friendly show, and it's something that you will remember.
I believe it. Just the match that you're in sounds like it's going to be one hell of a match.
Well, you got the ghost walking hardcore Viking. If you want to know what that's about, come see it, because I'm telling you what, just pay attention. Keep your eyes open because there may be blood. There will be pain. But thank you, both of you gentlemen. Thank you. I appreciate it. You get well with your blood clot. I hope everything works out for you on that.
Thank you very much, sir. It was a pleasure having you.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate it. Thank you, too, and God bless.
You, too. And that was our guest, the paranormal Eric Fallon. And, Rob, I really, really hope you know what you're getting yourself into.
I definitely know what I'm getting myself into. Ace, it's called Better Competition.
You know, I can't argue with that. He's definitely better at competition than...
Here's the thing, Ace, and we're not going to go there, but here's the thing. I'm going to be sitting on the shelf for however long they're going to tell me, minus however long I decide to. It's at least going to be a couple months. Maybe the summer. So I'm going to have all this built-up frustration. I'm going to have all this time to just train. And I now have some facilities at my disposal that I can access when need be to do said training. Not to mention, I'm going to start walking there. So when I do come back, I should be in better shape. Keyword should be. I'm not going to promise anything because, you know, things change on a day-to-day basis. I'm lazy. We all know
right.
this.
Yeah, we do.
But anyway, and when I do come back, I'm going to need somebody that can take that level of ass-whipping that I'm going to have to dish out. And I know Mr. Fallon can take that level of ass whipping and give it right back and multiply it. And I like that. Because win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. Because by the time that match is all said and done and the dust is settled, I'm probably going to be the one staring up at the lights going, what the fuck did I just get myself into?
Yeah,
and
most
it's
going to
be a calm. There's going to be a calm, and then everybody around me for the next 6 months is going to be safe. And that's really probably the only reason I'm going to do it, is for everybody else's protection. Ain't I a nice guy? Yeah.
So,
mind you, I should have some FWO merchandise by then, you know.
That would be great. Maybe that
if I can
help
match
you with your medical bills.
Yeah. Well, I don't pay for my medical bills, but that's a different story.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah.
So, since you are on the shelf for the time being, what does the FWO have coming up?
Well,
any members of the FWO?
Well, I kind of called a meeting, you know, kind of called a meeting last week of the FWO members, and basically told them to basically go on their own way, do their own thing, you know, and, you know, when the time is right, when needs be, we will reconvene at a moment's notice. Basically, we're like the Avengers. All I got to do is say a symbol, and they're all right there.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So I believe Mr. Justin Dream, he's off doing his own thing. Kevin Nero, I believe he's actually on the injured list. I believe he got taken out by Tony Evergreen.
Wait.
Kevin Cook, I don't know what he's doing.
Out by Tony Evergreen?
Something about some injury to his cervical and his neck or something. I don't know. Tony, apparently, I'm going to put it to you the same way I got it handed to me, okay? And this is the story that I got. Tony kicked him in the head. And then Tony kicked him in the head again. And then Tony kicked him in the head again. And then Tony kicked him in the head again. And then Tony kicked him in the head again.
So repeated kicks to the head.
Yeah, and then something else happened, and then Tony kicked him in the head again.
Well,
so,
then Nero's slipping because as long as I've known him, kicking him in the head never hurt him. It just pissed him off.
Well, apparently they were, like, right at the base of the skull or something, so right in the tender area. Yeah.
Ouch.
And we all know Tony Evergreen's got some vicious kicks on him.
Yes, he does. But
yeah,
when Nero does recover, I have a very simple piece of advice for Mr. Evergreen. Disappear.
I believe he already has. But I don't know. But moving on. Kevin Cook, I don't know what he's doing. There's rumors flying that he's already found a new group. I don't know what's going on there, but you know, so quickly, you know, I think there may be some problems there that I might have to deal with sooner than later. But yeah, I'm working on some things. I'm talking to some lawyers. I'm getting some things taken care of. And this Saturday at Tough Pro Wrestling, some things may change.
That's very interesting. I'll have to
keep
myself in the loop on that.
Oh, yes. Just keep your eyes and ears open, Ace. Just keep your eyes and ears open. Everybody else, just keep yourself glued to the Fatone Facebook. I'll even put it up on the Fat World Order Facebook just to keep it up and running. You know, I'll keep the Fat World Order page up and running for everybody. That way everybody can stay up to date on the happenings of the Fat World Order and when and if we join back together.
Speaking of the Fat World Order Facebook, I saw a video on that Facebook page where you and Nicholas Davidson made a deal.
Yes.
Why would you make a deal with Nicholas Davidson?
Well, Ace, if you watch the video, the deal was I handed over the United States title in exchange for the golden ticket,
which
everybody
now
knows.
Can't use because of injury.
Oh, I can use it whenever I want. That's the thing. With me being injured, that just means I get to sit on it a little bit longer.
Well, crazy British lady keeps yelling in my ear, so I'm going to cut things short, but I want to once again thank our guest, the paranormal Eric Fallen, and for the fat man Rob Fatone, who you can follow on Facebook. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. This has been Matt Chat. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week.